بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we went through the arkan and the wajibat of the salah. And before we begin, who can tell me the difference between firstly a shart and a rukn? What's the difference between a shart and a rukn? No. Who knows the difference between a shart of a salah and a rukn of a salah?
So a shart, the condition for the salah, and the rukn is inside the salah.
Excellent. So the shart is something which has to be fulfilled, but it is external to the salah. It is done before the salah and then maintained throughout the salah. And the rukn also has to be fulfilled, but it is internal and inside the salah. And the difference between the rukn and the wajib, what's the difference between the rukn and the wajib? Naam, tafadhal.
The rukn you have to do again, and the wajib you can do with this sajda sahw.
Correct any other answer?
Without the rukn, no. You have to repeat the whole salah with that whole rukn.
Rakah, naam.
Whereas the wajib, it's something that if you leave out, you have to do.
So rukn.
Also, the wajib, if you forget the wajib accidentally, then you can do this.
If you forget the rukn,
also either purposefully or forgetfulness, you have to complete all of it.
Yeah, you have to come. So, the rukn, if it is left intentionally or forgetfully, then the rak'ah is not valid. The rak'ah has to be repeated again. So, that rak'ah in which a person forgot to do the rukn, that becomes invalid, and then your next rak'ah takes its place. So when you finish the salah, then you have to make a new rak'ah again. As for the wajib, if a person leaves it intentionally, then the rak'ah is invalid. But if a person leaves it forgetfully, then his rak'ah is still correct. The only thing is upon him to make sujudu sahu at the end. And then what is the difference between the sunan or the mustahabbat and the wajib or the wajibat? What's the difference between both of them?
Wajib you have to do with the sajda sahwa if you're forgetful, or if intentionally you leave it, then you have to do again.
And the sunan or the mustahabbat?
If you follow sunnah, it's going to be more like fazilat, it's like important.
Extra reward. So if a person leaves out one of the sunan or the mustahabbat, either name you can give it, or the mukammilat, if a person leaves it out intentionally, the prayer is still valid. And if a person leaves it out forgetfully, then there's nothing upon him at all. The salah is still valid. But the more sunan you do, the more perfect the salah is, the greater the reward is, and the closer your salah is to the salah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no sujudu sahu for the sunan. In fact, there is no sujudu sahu for the arkan, neither is there any sujudu sahu for the sunan. There is only sujudu sahu for the wajibat, because the rukn, the rak'ah has to be repeated. And as for the sunan or the mustahabbat, the recommended matters, then there's no sujood as-sahu for it. Only for the wajibat is there sujood as-sahu. So we mentioned previously the arkan of 14. Al-qiyam ma'al qudra. Standing up for the fard prayer if a person is able to stand up. Takbiratul ihram. Naam, what's takbiratul ihram? Saying Allahu Akbar. It is a statement of Allahu Akbar. As for the raising of the hands, then this is not from the arkan. Some of the ulama said that it is from the mustahabbat, and some of the fuqaha said it is from the wajibat. But it is a statement, Allahu Akbar, which is the takbir, takbiratul ihram. Qira'atul Fatiha, reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha is a rukn. in every single rak'ah of every single salah, regardless of whether it is nafal or wajib, witr, whether a person is praying with the imam, a person is praying alone. The only difference of opinion amongst the fuqaha is where, if a person is praying in congregation and the imam recites Surah Al-Fatiha in the loud prayers, then does the person behind him have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha again or not? And the khilaf between the fuqaha, it is known. Performing ruku', getting up from ruku' and having al-i'tidal, meaning being calm and standing in that position for a short amount of time. Then making a sujood on the seven limbs, which we mentioned. Rising up from the sujood. The jalsa between the two, between the sajdatain. At-tama'nina. And the meaning of tama'nina is being calm in the various actions of the salah. Tartib, doing the actions in the correct order. At-tashahud al-akhir, the final tashahud. Wal-julus lah, and the last sitting for the tashahud, and sending as-salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and saying at-taslim. These are the 14 arkan which were mentioned in the previous lesson. And then we went through the wajibat. And the wajibat we mentioned are 8. All of the other takbirat after takbiratul ihram. So the takbirat in the salah, 2 types. Can you remember what they are? Takbiratul ihram and intiqal. Takbiratul intiqal. And as for takbiratul ihram, it has 3 names: al-ihram wa tahrim wa tahrimiyya. Takbiratul tahrimiyya, takbiratul tahrim, takbiratul ihram. It means the same thing. So takbiratul intiqal are all of the other statements of Allahu Akbar apart from the first one. He said, وَقَوْلْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ لِلْإِمَامِ وَالْمُنْفَرِدِ. A person saying سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, if he is the imam or if he is the person who is praying alone. As for the ma'moom, the person who is praying behind the imam, then he does not say سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَهُ, but he says رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. So رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ, this is from the wajibat for everybody, for the imam and the ma'moom, the one praying behind the imam, and the munfarid, the one who is praying alone. And saying Subhana Rabbil Azim in the ruku', saying Subhana Rabbil A'la in the sujood, saying Rabbi Ghfirli between the two sujoods, and also the first tashahud, at-tahiyyat, and sitting for the first tashahud, all of these are from the wajibat. And in this lesson, which is the 9th unit, the author, he speaks about the tashahud. And the tashahud is that which all of you have memorized when you were young, and it is called at-tahiyyat. At-tahiyyatu lillah, was-salawat wa-t-tayyibat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This is called At-Tahiyyat, and this is the beginning of At-Tashahud. What is the meaning of At-Tahiyyat lillah, was-salawat, wa-t-tayyibat to the rest of the At-Tahiyyah? So the meaning of At-Tahiyyat is At-Ta'zeemat. At-Tahiyyat lillah, At-Ta'zeemat lillah. Meaning every statement of exaltation, every statement of respect and veneration is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning of At-Tahiyyat. So At-Tahiyyat, it means At-Ta'zeemat. And also the actions of exaltation. So when a person is praying the salah, the takbir, the statement of takbir, this is ta'zeem of Allah. And raising the hands is ta'zeem of Allah. And going into ruku', bowing, it is ta'zeem, it is respecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And making sujood is also ta'zeem of Allah. So all of these are included in at-tahiyyat, at-ta'zeemat lillah. And then as-salawat. And the meaning of as-salawat here is all of the du'as which you are making is for Allah as well. Because the linguistic meaning of salah, it is du'a, like we mentioned previously. Salah, the linguistic meaning is, it means a dua. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَيْ أُدْعُوا لَهُمْ. So والصلوات أي جميع الدعوات. All of the supplications which you are making is for Allah alone. والطيبات. And the meaning of الطيبات is the good, pure things. Meaning those actions which are built upon ikhlas, which have no riya showing off in it. This is the meaning of الطيبات. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إن الله طيب ولا يقبل إلا الطيب. That Allah is good and pure, and He does not accept anything unless it is good and pure. Meaning, it is built upon ikhlas, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept any form of a shirk. And then we say, السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام. This is now a dua from you to Allah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That, O Allah, send peace and salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wal rahmah and mercy upon him, wal barakah. And this is also an evidence for tawheed. Because the one who you make dua for, he cannot be the same person who you make dua to. Understood? You are now making dua that Allah sends salutations of salam and rahmah and barakah upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So you are making dua for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore, the person for whom you make a dua, he cannot be the same person to who you make dua. So we only make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for others. And then after this, you send salam upon yourself and upon the rest of the believers. Because saying As-salamu alayna, this is also a type of dua. It is a dua. As-salamu alayka wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is a dua which you are making to Allah. So As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And Allah send peace upon us and peace upon the rest of the righteous people. And this is also an evidence of At-Tawheed and against As-Shirk. So if all of the righteous people are in need of you making dua for them from Allah, then this shows they are not deserving of your dua. You only make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the principle is, the one for whom dua is made, he cannot be the person to who dua is made. Dua is made to Allah, but for everybody else. And then, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. This is called At-Tashahud. And this is Kalimatu At-Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. And La ilaha illallah in Arabic, what does it mean? What is the meaning of La ilaha illallah in Arabic? Ibrahim? Naam. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah. There is no deity or God deserving of worship except Allah. Why does La ilaha illallah not mean La khaliqa illallah? Even though La Khaliqa illallah is correct, but why is that not the essence of La ilaha illallah? Naam, the mushrikun of the Quraysh, wala in sa'altahum man khalaqa as-samawati wal ard, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say it is Allah. So they used to believe and accept La Khaliqa illallah. They knew La Malika illallah. But what they refused to accept is making all worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, and they understood the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And La ilaha illallah has two pillars. What are the two pillars of La ilaha illallah? Naam. An-nafi wal-ithbat. So an-nafi, it is La ilaha, meaning you negate all the other gods and deities. You have to negate these. You have to disbelieve in it. And then al-ithbat, ay illallah. Then you have to affirm your worship of Allah. So a person cannot be a muwahid, a person cannot be a person of tawheed, if he does not reject and disbelieve in all types of shirk, and then affirms all types of at-tawheed. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ. Whoever rejects in the false deities and has iman in Allah. You have to fulfill both of these two pillars. And then you say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولًا. And this is also tashahud. And this is the second tashahud. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. In this statement, two privileges, two rights of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned, or two stations. The first station is al-ubudiyyah, abduhu, and the second station is ar-risala, rasuluhu. So when we say ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu, then there are two benefits from this. Firstly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an abd lillah. He was a worshipper of Allah. He was the one who was under the control of Allah. And the one who worships is not to be worshipped. So this is another evidence for Tawheed and against Ash-Shirk. Because the one himself who worships cannot be taken as a deity of worship. So he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we have to worship the one who he worships. And therefore, worshipping Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is not permitted. The second benefit from the Prophet being Abdullah is that he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most perfect sense. And therefore, we have to worship Allah like he worshipped him. And this is now an evidence against all types of innovation. وَرَسُولُهُ, and he is the messenger of Allah. So this is now the station of الرسالة, that he is the final messenger of Allah. And when a person says أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, then there are four things that a person has to fulfill, or four pillars. And we studied this previously. Can you remember the four pillars, or the four things you have to fulfill? نعم, in Arabic. طاعته فيما أمر. Show obedience to him in everything which he commanded. أحسنت. تصديقه فيما أخبر. And you have to accept everything which he informed of. ما زجر. ما نهى عنه وزجر. And you have to stay away from everything which he forbade. وَأَلَّا يُعْبَدَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَرَى. And that a person should not worship Allah except in a way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam worshipped him. Brothers, these ta'rifat that you've memorized, and these things that you've memorized in Arabic, initially it is difficult to say it. But the more you say it again and again and again, it becomes second nature to you. So in all of the lessons, we're going to keep repeating arkan of la ilaha illallah, arkan of Muhammad Rasulullah, ta'rifat, and then bi-idhnillah, it'll become easy for you, it'll become second nature. So don't be shy if you make a mistake or you don't know the wording. This is, every student of knowledge starts like this. So this is At-Tahiyyat. And then after At-Tahiyyat is As-Salah al-Nabi. And this is called As-Salah al-Ibrahimiyya. And this is what we have all memorized when we were young. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahima wa ala Ali Ibrahima innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. This is called, as I mentioned, الصلاة الإبراهيمية. And الصلاة الإبراهيمية, a person first says اللهم صلي على محمد. What is the meaning of صلي على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أبو العالية, he mentions in البخاري that the meaning of as-salah, when we say Allah sends salah upon the Prophet, then it means thana'uhu fil mala'il a'la, that Allah praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the higher companionship amongst the angels and those who are with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is the meaning of sallallahu alayhi, or Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, meaning mention his praises, and that he's to be praised with the higher beings, i.e. the angels. وَعَلَىٰ آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ, and upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Here the word al, it has two meanings. The first meaning of al Muhammad is alul bayt, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. It is the household and the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, meaning Bani Hashim, and then the descendants of Abdul Muttalib, and the uncles of the Prophet who accepted Islam, and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rest of his household. This is the meaning of Ahlul Bayt. The second meaning of Al is all his followers. Because in Arabic, the followers are also called Al. Alu Fulan, i.e. the followers of Fulan. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahimiya ala Ibrahim, just as you have praised Ibrahim, wa ala Ali Ibrahim, and also the offspring of Ibrahim. And who are the offspring of Ibrahim? All of the prophets and the messengers. Because all of the prophets and the messengers after Ibrahim alayhi salam came from both of his sons, either Ishaq alayhi salam or Ismail alayhi salam. So Bani Israel and the prophets who were sent to the Israelites, they came from Ishaq alayhi salam. And the prophets who were sent to the Arabs and who were not from the Bani Israel, they came from Ismail alayhi salam. And then after this, the author said, "Rahimullah, thumma yasta'idu billah ba'da tashahhud al-akhir min adhabi jahannam." And then after the final tashahhud and sending a salat Ibrahimiyya upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then a person seeks refuge in Allah from four things. And those four things are, firstly, min adhabi jahannam, from the punishment of jahannam, wa min adhabi al-qabr, and from the punishment of the grave, وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا وَالْمَمَاتِ, and from the fitna, the test and the tribulations of life and death. So the tribulations and the test of life are known. Kufr and shubuhat, shahawat, desires and sins, and the difficulty that a person goes through, all of this is fitnatul mahya. And as for fitnatul mamat, then either it is the fitna after death, or it is the fitna just before death. So sometimes death is also fitna for a person. So a person seeks refuge in Allah from the difficulties of life and also the difficulties of death. وَمِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ, and also from the tribulation and the tests of Al-Masih al-Dajjal. And then after this, a person can make any dua that he or she wants. So in the salah, there are two places in which a person makes dua: in the sujood and before at-taslim. These are the two times which have been dedicated for making any dua which you want. And the dua which you make in your sujood, or you make before the taslim after the tashahhud, it can either be using those duas which are ma'thur, those which have been mentioned in the Quran or upon the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and even ghair ma'thur. Even if you have a dua which you want to make, your own personal dua, even if it is for a matter of the dunya, an exam, an illness, marriage, a car, anything that a person wants to do, a person can make dua for this. However, what is better? To make dua with that which has been established in the Quran or the Sunnah. Why? Because you find the du'as which are in the Qur'an are more comprehensive. So when a person says, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا, O Allah, give us goodness in the dunya. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا, give us goodness in the hereafter. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ, and save us from the punishment of the fire. Then it includes everything. Every type of goodness in this dunya is in the du'a. Every type of goodness of the akhirah is in this du'a. But a person is allowed to make specific du'as if he or she wants. And this is the same whether it is a fard prayer or a nafl prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to advise some of his companions to make certain types of du'a dubara kulli salah, at the end of each salah. We find a number of ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say to his companions, do not forget to make this dua dubura kulli salah, at the end of each salah. The ulama, they differed that this word dubura kulli salah, at the end of each salah, what does it mean? Does it mean before taslim and after the final tashahhud, or does it mean after at-taslim? So for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to make this dua. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant faghfir li maghfiratan min indika warhamni innaka antal ghafurur rahim. And this dua he was ordered to make dubara kulli salah, the end of every salah. So some of the ulama understood by this that it is before the taslim. Why? Because this is a time for dua. And others understood that it is after the taslim. Shaykh ibn Baz rahimullah, he says that this dua, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, which the Prophet ﷺ taught Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this is said before the taslim. And also the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he advised Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal, Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, this is also said before the taslim and not after the taslim. Wallahu a'lam. So this in short is regarding at-tashahud. After this we'll go through the next unit, the next lesson, which is Sunan as-Salah. The Sunan, the Mustahabbat, the Mukammilat, the recommended actions in the Salah. And as I mentioned, if a person does one of the Sunan, then this is good and there's more reward. If a person leaves out one of the Sunan intentionally, there's no harm on this and the prayer is still valid. And if a person forgets one of the Sunan, there is no sujoodu sahu, and neither does a person need to make qadha for that sunnah which he has missed. So he said, and the sunan are many. There are many sunan of the salah, and the principle is, whatever is not from the arkan and the wajibat is from the sunan. So as long as you know the arkan, and you know and memorize the wajibat, if somebody asks you a question about any of the other actions, you know it is from the sunan. Minha, from the sunan, is al-istiftah, meaning dua al-istiftah. And this is the dua which a person makes before reciting Surah Al-Fatiha after Takbiratul Ihram. And it is only made once in the first rak'ah of the salah. And it is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. And there are many different du'as which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make after Takbiratul Ihram. So that which is correct is that a person should memorize at least three or four different du'as, and then he says each one in different salah. And Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he said that it isn't appropriate for a person to say all of those du'as in a single salah, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not used to do this. Sometimes the Prophet would say one du'a, another time he would say another dua, another salah he would say a third dua, and this is the perfect sunnah. So even if you memorize four different ad'iyah from dua al-istiftah, then that which is better is to say a different one each time, and this is also better for al-ikhlas and better for your concentration. So from amongst them is the one I mentioned, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. And this dua, the ulama differed whether it can be authentically attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And some of the ulama said that this is a dua which Umar radiallahu anhu used to make all the time, and it being attributed to Umar radiallahu anhu is authentic. As for it being attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then there is some weakness in this. And then another dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriki wal-maghrib. Oh Allah, place a distance between me and my sins, just as you have placed a distance between the east and the west. Allahumma naqini min khatayaya kama yunqa al-thawb al-abyad min al-danas. Oh Allah, clean me from my sins, just as a white garment is cleansed from dirt and impurity. Allahumma ghsilni min khataya bil ma'i wa thalji wal barad. Oh Allah, cleanse me from my sins with water, snow and coldness. Just as a benefit, he said, kama yunqa thawb al abyad min al danas. Cleanse me from my sins just as the white garment is cleansed from impurity. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention a white garment? Why not a black garment or a brown garment or a... Why a white garment? What do you think?
Because a black garment could have dirt on it, but you couldn't see it.
So, the white garment, any small impurity which hasn't been washed still can be seen. So the effect of purification and cleanliness is seen more clearly on a white garment than any other garment. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made this beautiful dua that cleansed me from my sins, not just like the washing of a garment, but the washing of a white garment. Because a white garment, even a small speck of dirt, can be seen on it. And also there are other types of dua al-istiftah, like إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا أول المسلمين. This is also from the du'as. And also الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. Also from the types of du'a al-istiftah. And also for example الله أكبر كبيرا والحمد لله كثيرا وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Also from Dua al-Istiftah. And others. اللهم رَبَّ جِبْرَائِيلُ وَمِيكَائِلُ وَإِسْرَافِيلُ. And so on and so forth. So that which is better is for a person to memorize 3, 4, or 5 of these. And then in the different salawat, say the different ones. This dua, اللَّهُ أَكْبَرْ كَبِيرًا وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ كَثِيرًا وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. It has been mentioned in Sahih Muslim upon the authority of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, ما نسيتها منذ ما سمعت النبي. No, he said, ما تركتها منذ ما سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقولها. He said, I have never left saying this dua since I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saying it. And this shows you how much the Sahaba attached importance to the Sunan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That if they heard the most simplest type of action, they would be firm upon it and they would continue in doing it. So the various types of dua al-istiftah are from the Sunan. Also placing the right hand upon the left hand, فوق الصدر, upon the chest, during when a person is standing up, this is from the Sunan. The author, rahimullah, says, قبل ركوع أو بعد. Whether a person standing before the ruku' or standing after the ruku', then his opinion is that a person should place his hands upon his chest. And other ulama mentioned that after the ruku', a person places his hands down by his side. And the point here isn't to get into the ikhtilaf of the madhahib. And he said, رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ مَضْمُومَتَيْ الْأَصَابِعِ. That when a person raises his hands for the takbirat, then his fingers are together like this. And the palms are facing the qibla. And this has been mentioned in various narrations of the Sahaba. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would raise his hands for the takbirat, then he would place his fingers together like this, and the palms would be facing the qibla, the direction of the Kaaba. And then he said, حَذْوَ الْمَنْكَبَيْنِ أَوِ الْأُذُنَيْنِ. That when a person raises his hands level to the shoulders or level to the ears. Both of these have been narrated. حَذْوَ الْمَنْكَبَيْنِ, to the parallel to the shoulders. وَحَذْوَ الْأُذُنَيْنِ, parallel to the ears. Both of them are correct. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma used to say, رَفْعُ الْيَدَيْنِ مِنْ زِينَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. That the raising of the hands, this is from the beautification of the salah. He said, and the raising of the hands in the first takbir, and before going into ruku', standing up from ruku', and standing up from the first tashahud, all of this is from the sunan. مَا زَادَ عَنْ وَاحِدَ فِي التَّسْبِيحِ رُكُوعِ وَالسُّجُودِ. Saying Subhan Rabbi al-Azim and saying Subhan Rabbi al-A'la once is from the wajibat in the ruku' and the sujood. Anything which is more than once is from the sunan. So if a person says it 3 times, the ulama say this is adnal kamal, that the minimum amount of perfection is to say it 3 times. The obligation is to say it once. Adnal kamal, the minimum perfection is to say it 3 times, and then more than this, a person can say in any odd number. And of course, the other types of du'as in the sujood. He said, وَجَعْلَ الرَّأْسِ حِيَالَ الظَّهَرِ فِي الرُّكُوعِ. And that when a person makes the ruku', the head should be level with the back. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, إِذَا رَكَعَ لَمْ يُشْخِصْ رَأْسَهُ وَلَمْ يُصَوِّبْهُ وَلَا كَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he went into ruku', he wouldn't prop his head up, neither he would bow it down, but it was between that. Meaning level with the back. This is from the Sunan. And then he said, for the elbows to be distanced from the side of the body, and for the stomach to be distanced from the thighs when you're making sujood, and for the thighs to be distanced from the shins when you're making sujood. Meaning when a person makes sujood, he doesn't make it and he is, you know, his body is all close like this. Rather, there's space between his shins and his thighs, and his thighs and his stomach, and between the elbows and the body. No. And then he said, جلوس المصلي على رجله اليسرى مفروشة ونصب اليمنى في التشهد الأول بين السجدتين. When a person sits, he sits on his left leg and foot, and he props up his right foot, as we do. This is also from the Sunan. And at-tawarruk. And at-tawarruk means, in the last tashahud, you sit on your backside with your left foot under you and your right foot propped up. And this is called at-tawarruk. Wal-ishara bis-sabaha, and also the pointing of the finger throughout the tashahud, from the beginning of the tashahud to the end of the tashahud. He said, وَتَحْرِيكُهَا عِنْدَ الدُّعَى. So when a person is saying At-Tahiyyat, he points his finger. Then when a person begins to make dua, like seeking refuge in Allah from those four matters and the other duas, then you slightly move your finger. He said, As-Salah ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam fi tashahud al-awwal. That in the first sitting of the tashahud, I not the last tashahud. So if you're praying dhuhr, there's two tashahuds. There's a tashahud in the second raka'ah, and there's a tashahud in the fourth raka'ah. He said the Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah in the fourth raka'ah, this is from the wajibat. And as for saying a Salat al-Ibrahimiyyah in the second tashahud, this is from the sunan and the mukammilat. So if, for example, you have finished your at-tahiyyat and the imam is still sitting, you should not remain silent. Rather, you send a salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is from the sunan. Ad-du'a fi tashahud al-akhir, supplicating, you know, in your final tashahud. And also al-jahr bil-qara'a, reciting the loud prayers out aloud. Like al-fajr and jum'ah, salat al-eid, the first two raka'at of maghrib and isha, and so on and so forth. And al-israru bil-qara'a fi dhuhri wal-asr. And so reciting quietly, quietly in dhuhr and in al-asr. Also, qira'at ma zada 'an al-fatiha min al-Qur'an, reciting a surah after surah al-fatiha, like we do in the first and the second raka'ah. This is also from the sunan. And he said, and the various other sunan that a person should do, like the extra du'as which are mentioned, the extra tasbihat which are mentioned, so on and so forth. All of these are from the sunan. So as I mentioned, the sunan are those actions. If a person does them, there's more reward and the salah is more complete and perfect. If a person leaves them intentionally, there's no harm upon him. If a person leaves them forgetfully, then the prayer, the salah, is still valid, and there is no qada and there is no sujood sahu. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.